Hey, the start of something special right here, man. Let's go.
Number one fantasy player right here.
Got past the line. Shut up. Know the rules.
I just want to say this to you. Right now, best in the game. I know.
Hello and welcome in to the Pod After Touchdown Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Hoppin, joined as always by my co-host, Andrew Mackins, and our producer, Garner. We are back from a very long and relaxing weekend. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving break. But fellas, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I feel like this last week was a blur. And I don't know if that's just because I drank basically every day for the entire week, but it certainly felt like the COVID news I could not keep up with as it pertains to the NFL. Hopefully we don't have to cover that too much. Derrick Henry had a great week, so that made me happy. But other than that, it's just like another week, another set of matchups, right on into week 13. Let's go. We've got one game in the middle just to keep things interesting. Wednesday matchup. We have no idea what's going to happen there other than the Steelers are obviously going to cover.
We'll see about that. I feel you on the weekend being a bit of a blur, right? You know, you wake up Friday and it's like, oh, yeah, this is awesome. I still have like 3 days left in my weekend. And then you wake up Sunday and it's like, holy shit, where'd all this go? But had a very nice weekend sort of detoxing, at least from my computer screen. I barely did like any productive work this past weekend, which was very, very nice to have. And yes, we are recording this on Tuesday, so we do not know the outcome of the Pittsburgh Steelers Baltimore Ravens game, assuming that actually still goes on Wednesday afternoon. But we might talk about some of those guys tonight, but not sure how that'll end up. But Garner, how are you doing? I know you took a little trip down south.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I was fortunate and got to see my family. Didn't do anything too much, just relaxed, ate way too much food as usual. And like you said, had a good relaxing time, but it was one of those things where, again, Friday, you're like, all right, cool. Now we're just getting into the weekend. And then next thing you know, it's Sunday afternoon and you're like, crap, how is that gone already?
Yeah.
I wish I had more time.
I do too. I know one person that Andrew and I hung out with took Monday off as well, which is probably a sharp move there. But anyway, we're back into the swing of things. We're getting ready for week 13. We're also getting ready for the fantasy football playoffs, which are right around the corner. So for today's episode, we're going to talk about some playoff stash candidates. So we're going to talk through a couple of running back handcuffs that you should be looking out for, a couple defenses that you should target as well, and then a couple other miscellaneous players that Andrew and I have on our mind for guys that could either break out late in the season or could be good stashes if you're in a keeper league and are able to keep players that you pick up off the waiver wire. But before we get to that, we're going to do our kickoff question and mental health minute. So without further ado, let's kick things off.
And this game is underway.
All right. So in the spirit of talking about some under the radar players, let's talk about some people that have caught our eye lately that isn't getting much attention. And this is, you know, it's kind of an open-ended question here, but the guy I want to point out is Kenyon Drake. And I say him because I think he still has the stigma of his early season performances attached to him. And the last couple of games, he has really showed up for fantasy managers that have stuck with him. In the first seven games, he had a total of 10 targets. And then in the last three games, since returning from injury, he's had 10 targets. So he's getting used a little bit more in the passing game. He has yet to have a game with fewer than 10 rushing attempts as well. So he's certainly getting a decent workload. Hasn't been quite as efficient as we would have hoped, but found the end zone twice this past week at New England, and they get the Rams, Giants, and Eagles upcoming. So I think, you know, he's one of those players. I know we talked a couple weeks ago about players that we want to trust or instill some trust into. I'm ready and confident to be plugging Kenny and Drake back into my lineups without much hesitation.
I like the way you took that one, Sam, and I'm going to go in the same vein because I think it's easy to forget some of these players that get banged up and you can't even start them for a few weeks, whether it's because they were on the COVID list or because of an injury. And the guy that came to mind for me was Deebo Samuel, who he was healthy, he's starting. They've been banged up all around that offense, so they're just filling in with whoever it's next man up in San Francisco. And Deebo Samuel came right back to his normal self, 13 targets, 11 receptions, and 133 yards. So I see him as being someone that's going to remain heavily involved in the offense. Obviously, Kittle's out rest of the year, and there's no reason you shouldn't be starting him.
It's funny you mentioned him because I was actually going to bring up his teammate, Brandon Ayuk, who has missed the last two games and is expected to return this week. In the two games before he missed, he had 10 and 14 targets and scored in each of those games. Granted, both of those were without Deebo Samuel, but I think because of, you know, not have the 49ers not having George Kittle, there's enough opportunity in this offense for both of them to have pretty decent weeks. It might be harder for them to reach their ceilings with each other cannibalizing the target share, but I do like both of these guys rest of season.
Yeah, I agree with your sentiment. They're chasing for a playoff spot too, so I think they're going to be doing everything they can to get their playmakers involved.
Garner, I think you said that you had someone that was on your mind.
Yeah, mine's a little different. I am looking at Jamal Williams because, I mean, he had a decent game this last week of 13.3 points and half PPR. But since week four, he's been averaging 11.6 points per game. And he's just considered a backup and not supposed to be relevant unless Jones goes out. But on the season, he's RB25 in PPR. Like, he's still a solid flex option, someone you can get, and I think we'll mention later, an amazing handcuff to have. So he's someone that I think, again, everyone kind of just throws away thinking, yeah, he's a backup, like, maybe I'll hold on to him. But, like, he can still give you flex numbers right now with the possibility of being an RB1 if he can start.
That's a great call. Over the past several weeks, Jamal Williams has had a pretty high snap share, as has and Aaron Jones has dipped as well. So it's, you know, I think Aaron Jones is clearly the lead back. It seems like Jamal Williams is being used a little bit more. I mean, the Bears game was obviously a blowout. Hashtag the Bears still suck. And, you know, I think Williams is being used a little bit more in the passing game. I don't know the stats off the top of my head for that, but this is a committee for right now. And again, it's limiting the ceilings of both of these players, but a great point. I mean, we saw when Aaron Jones missed a couple of games, those two games, Jamal Williams had snap shares of 89 and 85%. So if and when one of those guys miss, it's all on the other player to take the reins in the backfield.
Yeah, A.J. Dillon isn't scaring anyone away from that bell cow opportunity.
No, he's scaring fantasy managers who drafted him thinking that they would get anything from him.
Could have drafted a wide receiver there.
Coulda. Okay, let's get into our mental health minute. I spoke earlier that we are recording this on Tuesday, and it is actually Giving Tuesday right now, and obviously had Black Friday on Friday, the day in which I bought a nice new air fryer, and then yesterday was Cyber Monday, but today, the day we're recording on, is Giving Tuesday. And if you've been following along with this podcast, you know that we started the Fantasy Football Mental Health Initiative earlier this year. And hopefully, you know, verbal meme here, we got Bernie Sanders. I am once again asking you to donate to the Fantasy Football Mental Health Initiative. You know, we hopefully if you have some spare money, anything that you can donate will help this cause, try to bring some awareness and funding to mental illnesses. This is obviously a lot more prevalent now than it has been in quite some time with the pandemic going on. So anything that people can contribute would be great. You can find the link for the GoFundMe in our Pod After TD Twitter account. You can find it in mine as well, at Sam Hoppin. But please do what you can. If you've made some extra money from DFS this year or think you got a championship in the bag and can donate, then please, please consider donating to that. One last thing before we get to the meat of our show. We've got everyone's, and by everyone, I mean our favorite segment of the week. It is our DiGiorno Players of the Week. Garner, hit the music. All right, I'm going to start us off here, Andrew, and Ezekiel Elliott did not feast on Thanksgiving. I mean, he's out here throwing up his spoon, ladling shit into his mouth, and he did absolutely none of that this week on Thanksgiving against the Washington football team, one of the worst rushing teams in the NFL. He had 32 rushing yards, 7 receiving yards on a single catch, and he fumbled the frickin' ball, too. I mean, this guy just absolutely was stuffed with nothing this week.
He's got the fumbleitis all year, Sam. You hate to see it, but you know what you hate to see worse is Derek Carr, the car crash this week. I didn't even look up his stats. Everyone knows he shit the bed, and it's the circumstances that in which he didn't deliver that are triggering me, because it was the Falcons on defense that was supposed to be the best matchup for quarterbacks, and he got you absolutely nothing. He got you like negative points depending on the fucking setting. So this one was the worst streaming option. Everyone was talking about him, and it was just awful. If you picked him up, like, there's nothing else to say. That was awful. You hate to see that too.
It's one of those car crashes that you just look away and keep driving past because it is not pretty. It's funny.
I almost brought it up in our own podcaster league. We forgot to put Derek Carr in for Carson Wentz because Carson Wentz has been playing terrible too. And it actually, you said it made the difference in our matchup this week, right?
It did. And we would have lost if we had put Derek Carr in because he had about we won by like 15 points, but Derek Carr had like 16 points fewer than Carson Wentz.
And what? In this podcasters league, we've lost like 2 games, so we're probably
we're the luckiest.
It is one of the luckiest seasons I feel like I've seen.
I got a fun fact that I just looking up the scoring, at least in that league, and Derek Carr got us on our bench, thankfully, negative 1.4 points. You know who outscored him? Nathan Peterman, 1.9.
Nathan Peterman outscored Carr this week. That's a good fun fact. I like that. Other fun fact I noticed for you two, we subbed in the Saints defense because they're going up against the putrid Broncos situation. We subbed out the Dolphins defense, and they both had the same point total, 14 points. So we are on top of it when it comes to streaming defenses. I love where we're at there.
Good stuff. Well, we are obviously headed to the playoffs for the podcast league that we just discussed. Hopefully all of our listeners are headed to the playoffs as well. So we're going to talk about a number of guys that we think you can and should be stashing ahead of the playoffs. Obviously, you want to get a little bit ahead right now if you know for sure that you've locked up a spot and can afford to drop some of the, you know, sort of tail end players that you know you're not going to be starting and maybe pick up some fun guys. We'll talk about this mainly from a redraft perspective, but as we keep talking, I think some of these guys lend themselves to being good ads in keeper leagues, in which, like I mentioned earlier, you can pick them up and potentially hold them on for the next year. Not necessarily a full-on dynasty league, but someone you might be able to get with the last pick in your draft next year and pay off huge in return. So the first little section we're going to do here is talking about running back handcuffs, because, you know, we never, throughout the offseason, I was very adamant about not wanting to draft running back handcuffs because it limits your upside in, you know, throughout the season. But at this point, you want to have as high of a floor as you can. So we'll talk about these guys in two sets. There's this first group of guys who are likely on fantasy football teams and should be. And if they're not, you need to make it an absolute priority to get them. And those guys to me are Alexander Mattison, the backup to Dalvin Cook, Latavius Murray, Tony Pollard, Mike Davis, Jamal Williams, and maybe Giovanni Bernard. Obviously, Joe Mixon is on the IR right now, so there's a very, you know, these guys are probably 90%+ rostered in leagues, but just something, you know, if for some reason they're out there, go grab them now. The next set of guys are guys that might be on teams and should be added if they're not. And that's Carlos Hyde, Gus Edwards. Obviously, you know, we're talking about this after the Ravens-Steelers game. We don't know what's going on there, but we obviously saw that two of their players could go down and Gus Edwards immediately be probably a top 20 back on the week. Benny Snell, the backup to James Conner, Boston Scott, Brian Hill / Ito Smith for Todd Gurley. And then the last one who I want to talk about a little bit is Devontae Booker. And we're going to talk about him in our start sits, but Josh Jacobs got banged up a little bit in the game against the Falcons this past week. And Devontae Booker has been sort of the direct replacement for Josh Jacobs in that he's getting a number of the carries when the Raiders are ahead in the game, whereas Jalen Richard is the sort of change of pace and the third down back. So I think he's the quote-unquote direct backup, if you will, if Jacobs were to miss extended time. So I just rambled on quite a bit there. Are there any other guys that you think are a priority to add as far as running back handcuffs?
I think you covered that really well, Sam. I just highlighted a few to focus on. Obviously, Garner covered Jamal Williams very well. And I wanted to cover Latavius Murray in particular because some of these other ones are handcuffs where you're kind of preempting, like, you know, if Dalvin Cook gets injured, if Ezekiel Elliott gets injured, these guys have a chance to really blow up. But Latavius Murray, we're already seeing it. And I think it's because Alvin Kamara has been having some type of nagging foot injury. Taysom Hill, the QB1 in New Orleans, has really changed the look of that offense, and it feels like it's a lot more ground and pound. So Latavius Murray is one where, at least in sleeper, he's rostered in 66% of leagues, so there's literally still a one-third chance that he's available in your league, and you should definitely invest some fab there if you think this is going to continue this trend. He's got double-digit carries in back-to-back weeks, and he's got some juicy matchups against the Chiefs and the Vikings in weeks 15 and 16. So Latavius Murray is the one that I like really wanted to highlight from those direct handcuffs. And then the only other one in terms of direct handcuffs is if you have the roster depth or the space and you are a manager of Derrick Henry and you want to preempt some season ending or time missing injury, you could handcuff Jeremy McNichols, because he's got like 8 carries in relief of Henry this last week. That could have been, you know, because the game was in hand, but I feel like he would be the guy, or, you know, Deontay Foreman got some touches as well. That would be deep, deep, deep handcuff for Derrick Henry. But I feel like Henry's just going to go on a tear throughout the fantasy football playoffs. So should.
But that's a good point you bring up with the Titans backfield specifically is, and we don't know this for certain, and that's some of the nuances with running back handcuffs is, you know, we obviously saw with Christian McCaffrey going down that Mike Davis was for sure the guy. And that said, a couple of weeks ago when Joe Mixon went down, Giovanni Bernard was pretty much the main guy, but they also mixed in a couple of other backs as well. And there were some backfields we didn't mention either because they basically are a committee and will remain a committee. And that's like the Patriots, the Giants, teams like that who have continued to run multiple running backs out on the field, regardless of who is or is not healthy. And, you know, Latavius Murray could probably fit into that category. It sort of depends on the week where he's at with that. But the other thing that I didn't mention is that I think your main focus right now should be picking up and acquiring guys that are direct backups of the players you have. So if you have Josh Jacobs, go pick up Devontae Booker. If you have Todd Gurley, go pick up Brian Hill, because that safeguards you a little bit from, you know, if Todd, you know, obviously Todd Gurley was out this past week, but if he continues to miss time, then you have that direct replacement. Whereas earlier in the season, it would be better for you to have, you know, Boston Scott if Miles Sanders went down, because then you would have the higher ceiling. But the timeline is obviously a bit shorter now, so want to get the guys that are directly backing up your players.
And kind of backtracking a little bit, I actually had a question for you guys. When you're talking about like the committees, and again, it's kind of hard to pick a guy and be like, okay, yeah, we can grab their backup. But looking at the Chargers, I want to see if you guys had an opinion on trying to grab one of their potential backups there in case Eckler goes down. But I feel like Joshua Kelly is the one there now, but Kalen Ballage, if he is healthy again and another game, I mean, he was the back that was taken over and he was doing well, but I mean, they just, again, have a couple of names there that I'm not sure. Do you guys feel that you'd be, I guess, confident enough to try and grab one of them, or is it kind of just not worth that effort?
Well, of course, Joshua Kelly, after having back-to-back weeks of less than 3 points, and like he hasn't scored double-digit points since week 2, that he gets a touchdown this week. And it kind of changes our perspective a little bit. But Kalen Ballage has been the one that I think has gotten the value, the high value touches. And I noticed his name pop on the chart that Sam puts together weekly for high value touches as a percentage of total touches. So a little plug for Sam's stats and charts there. But it gives me more confidence in picking up Ballage as that handcuff, because they've been pretty confident in using him, particularly in the pass game.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense to me. I think I'm happy with that answer because he's sitting on my bench right now. So
That's good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's Eckler handcuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have Eckler, but I've got Ballage, so I don't want to say I'm hoping for the injury, because I mean, I got other running backs, but I'm just glad to have him in my back pocket.
Yeah, that's
yeah, cool. Me, Kalen Ballage is the guy for all the reasons that Andrew mentioned. Okay, let's move on to talking about a couple defenses here quick. These are all defenses that are rostered on less than 50% of teams on Sleeper. And the first one I want to point out is the Washington football team. They've actually been pretty good. They have one of the better passing defenses in the league. That defensive line is amazing. And in the playoffs, they play the 49ers, who are playing with their backup quarterback, the Seahawks, who have allowed a decent number of sacks, and the Panthers as well. So not the best matchups by any means, but that defense is pretty good to create some chaos. The next one is the Chargers, and Joey Bosa has just been on an absolute tear since returning from injury, and they play a they have a really good set of matchups here with the Falcons first, the Raiders, and then the Broncos to wrap things up. So a couple divisional matchups there. And then the last group of teams is basically the entire NFC West, because they play the NFC East, and the NFC East is straight trash. So specifically, I want to point out the Cardinals, the 49ers, and the Seahawks, because the Rams are one of the most rostered defenses right now. Odds are they're rostered in leagues right now. But the Cardinals play the Giants, Eagles, and the 49ers. You really couldn't get a much better trio of matchups. Obviously, Daniel Jones is expected to miss a couple of weeks, so the Giants will be rolling out Colt McCoy there. The 49ers are starting to get healthy as well, and they play Washington, the Cowboys, and the Cardinals. So obviously have that matchup there between those two teams. And then finally, you have the Seahawks, who have, again, another great set up here with the Jets in week 14, the Washington football team in week 15, and then the Rams to close it out. And we've seen that Jared Goff can be prone to, you know, turning the ball over quite a bit and allowing some big plays from the defense. Jamal Adams is back and healthy too, so that certainly helps them out. But any other defenses that you would add, Andrew?
No, I think you covered this really well. And I think, if anything, the one that I would key in on the most is the Seahawks, because they've been known as a great matchup for wide receivers and quarterbacks like throughout the season. But the key to note there is, I believe they traded for Carlos Dunlap at the deadline. And since that happened, the pass rush in Seattle has really turned the corner. I think it opens things up for Jamal Adams a bit more. I think he's on the field too. So, I mean, with that schedule, like Jets, Washington football team, and Jared Goff, that's the one that I already went ahead and picked up, because I saw the stark difference between when Dunlap joined and what their pass rush stats look like now. So I think that opens up a lot of things from a fantasy perspective.
Awesome. Well, hopefully everyone can go out and nab one of those defenses. I'm of the opinion that you know, when it comes to the playoffs, again, if you have the roster space and depth, that you can and should hold multiple defenses, not only to give yourself as much optionality as possible, but to block your opponents as well. Because, you know, we just listed a handful of teams that have good matchups. If you can somehow keep your opponents from having them as well, that's all the better.
Two quick responses. One comment: nice use of the word optionality. I think that should be in the dictionary next year. And two, would you drop the Buccaneers defense for any of these options? I stashed them like a long time ago, and knowing that I would be streaming a couple weeks before the playoffs, but thought that this defense was going to be on a tear, and now they've, I think, run into some trouble between the Rams and the Chiefs. So my confidence in the Bucs defense is wavering.
Two things. One, optionality is already in the dictionary, and it means the quality of being available to be chosen but not obligatory. Secondarily, I'd hold on to the Bucs defense. I mean, they play the Vikings, the Falcons, and the Lions, who are almost just as trash as the rest of them. So having the Bucs and having another one of these teams would add a ton of optionality to your roster. And
well said.
Thank you very much.
Well said.
Let's move on and wrap things up with a couple of players that, you know, don't necessarily fall into either of the categories we mentioned that have piqued our interest a little bit and think are some good stashes. And I'll let you start this one off, since I've been talking a little bit. I gotta loosen the vocal cords up here with a little drink.
Yeah, you want to hydrate a little bit. I'm gonna go with running back to start. And it's weird because this player had two touchdowns last week, and that was basically the entirety of his fantasy production in a bit of a like rock fight of a game. But James White, you know, only 37% snap share too, which concerns me as I'm looking at it. But Rex Burkhead, it sounds like from his injury that he might be done for the year. They still have Damian Harris there, who's I think going to take a lot of the you know, trap touches or trivial, you know, rush attempts, as we might call them. But so to toss it back to you, Sam, do you think that James White, typically a pass catcher, someone who saw some end zone work, some high value touches this last week, do you think that that's worth chasing? Or do you think we should stick with, you know, Damian Harris is the guy, let's not really try to chase anyone else in the Patriots muddled backfield?
I really love James White the rest of this season. I'm, you know, so far this year, Damian Harris only has 4 total targets, so he's not involved in the passing game whatsoever. Rex Burkhead is officially out for the rest of the season, so I think James White is going to basically own that part of the backfield as far as, you know, getting the targets and the receiving down work. Obviously, Cam has his legs, so James White's value isn't quite as high as it was in seasons past when he had Brady under center, but I still think there's a lot of opportunity for James White because, you know, they don't have a ton of great options in the passing game in general anyway. I mean, Jacoby Myers and Damir Bird have shown some flashes, but Cam Newton is not the Cam Newton of old and is a lot more suited to completing those dump-off passes nowadays.
I think the way the season has gone for the Patriots, which has been very weird without Tom Brady there, James White is a lot fresher than he would normally be at this juncture of the season too, because we've seen him have top-tier production or at least RB2 production. And I think that's where you can say, you know, we've seen it before. You can put him in your lineup with a little more confidence because you know his talent as a player.
Good stuff. The first guy of mine is also a running back, and that's Cam Akers. And he's in one of those backfields that we didn't touch on earlier because it's a three-headed monster right now between him, Malcolm Brown, and Daryl Henderson. And that said, you know, Cam Akers had an exciting day this past week, which is capped off by a very explosive 61-yard run. He scored in his second consecutive game, but he still only played on just 27% of snaps, which was his second highest total on the season, but it's still not very encouraging. He's just not getting the workload whatsoever. And I think if he's going to take over anyone's role, it's going to be Malcolm Brown. But Akers is one of those guys that, you know, I teased several times earlier that if you have an opportunity to add him and potentially keep him in one of the later rounds next year, that he is certainly worth that because the Rams have shown that they want to run a lot. And I don't know, you know, what's been going on with him. You know, he struggled quite a bit this season, but obviously had a pretty high draft pedigree and, you know, got a lot of buzz going into the season. So we'll see if maybe he can turn that around in year two. I would have to see an injury to at least one or both of the other guys for me to trust starting him in a lineup. But, you know, if maybe that snap share bumps up over the next week or two, you might want to trust him going forward.
Yeah, I would have picked Cam Akers for this if you hadn't already picked him. I think a lot of what we try to do or can do a better job of, generally speaking in fantasy, is predicting breakouts. And what they did with him in a limited fashion last week, I think could be in very indicative of a home stretch where we see a very impressive Cam Akers. At least, you know, that's what we're chasing. So I think especially with the keeper, if you can add someone and they can be a keeper for you off of free agency, this is a smash, like spend all your fab and hope for the best.
Who do you have next on your list.
We're going to pivot to wide receiver here. I almost used this guy for the kickoff question, actually, but I think he has started to get some pop, and that's Michael Pittman. Despite what you want to say about T.Y. Hilton, I think Michael Pittman is the number one option in Indianapolis now. And he's seen that, again, another guy who, you know, pretty much came straight back from his injury and started seeing a lot of opportunity. Now, he only had, you know, two receptions against the Titans last week, but he did see nine targets. So I think his schedule looks super juicy as well. They play the Texans twice over the next 3 weeks. Raiders are in there in week 14. Pittsburgh, a little bit tougher matchup for your fantasy championship, but I think this is a guy, especially if you're like me and you lost Will Fuller, that you can flex into your lineup, especially because one thing I lost in that Will Fuller news is that the Texans also had their top cornerback, Bradley Roby, get suspended for like the same amount of time. And so, you know, we can talk about the cornerbacks matchups trope as much as you want, but that will open things up for Pittman in these Colts-Texans matchups over the next few weeks.
I regrettably forgot to mention the Will Fuller news at the top of the show, and I'd like to take take a moment of silence for all of the best ball teams and redraft teams that were heading towards a fantasy football championship after losing Will Fuller. Thank you for that. Going back to the Colts wide receivers, obviously T.Y. Hilton is known for blowing up against the Houston Texans, so we'll see if he does that this week. But I love Michael Pittman as well, and he's definitely shown that he can be a true stud in that offense. Garner, you look like you've got someone that you want to add to this list as well.
Yeah, and someone I was thinking of, especially when Mackens was saying, again, if you can pick him up now and stash him away as a keeper for next year at the end of the rounds, I like Russell Gage. With Julio Jones being in and out, I mean, Gage hasn't really done much since the beginning of the season, so I don't have like the best stats to back it up. But I mean, he's a solid young wide receiver in a high-power offense. I think Matt Ryan's sticking around for at least one more year. Julio gets banged up a lot nowadays, apparently. I think he's someone who potentially could fill in at the end of the season here if you need. And then next year, if you can keep him at the end, I think that's a great, great flyer.
I think you had another wide receiver too, Sam, right?
Yeah, and we're going to stick with the rookie wide receiver trend here, at least with the guys that you mentioned, and that's Denzel Mims. Over the last 4 weeks, he has averaged 145 air yards per game, which is third in the NFL. The Jets are always going to be in a negative game script, and he's a guy that has an opportunity to pop off one of these weeks. The issue is that his biggest competition right now is Breshad Perriman, who is also seeing a bunch of deep targets, so they're both sort of cannibalizing those opportunities from each other, and it's one of those things where you just hope he can put it together one of these weeks, but neither Sam Darnold nor Joe Flacco really inspire a ton of confidence as much as they want to throw the ball deep. Garner, you've got one last guy to plug in here before we wrap things up with some starter sit.
Yeah, and it's going back to the mention of Will Fuller, which I did just run through my best ball teams, and I think two of my five that are in the money right now do have Will Fuller, so that's
shit.
Unfortunate.
Yep. I feel that.
But I was just going to say, too, I mean, keep an eye on Kiki Kuti. Because, I mean, Randall Cobb's out as well. Stills was cut recently. Apparently, I didn't even notice that until I was looking it up right now. So they don't have a whole lot of options left. And, I mean, again, I don't have the best stats to back it up, unfortunately. But, I mean, it's one of those, again, like, who else is he going to throw to? Either Cooks is just going to feed like there's no tomorrow, or they're going to spread out a little bit and QT is going to get enough to at least get you a flex, or again, look into next year. Maybe he he ends on a hot note, and he'll be worth something next year for you.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, let's wrap things up here with a little starter sit. We're going to go quick here so we can get people out on a high note. First one is, this is assuming Josh Jacobs is out. So we've got Devontae Booker at the New York Jets or DeAndre Swift at the Chicago Bears. Again, obviously hoping that Swift is back. And I'm going to go with Devontae Booker. Just as much as I love DeAndre Swift and want to free him, I'm a little bit worried about what might happen with Daryl Bevel as the interim head coach. You never know how that might change things. And like I mentioned earlier, Booker's getting a lot of the positive game script touches.
I'm going Swift. I don't know if I did this to preempt, like, just agreeing with you because I wanted to. And like being on the same page with the smart one of the group. But the Bears just got run over by the Packers. And I feel like that could translate, at least in some fashion. Swift sees the passing touches. I think, if I remember correctly, Bevel has been in, you know, Seattle in the past, and Seattle always loved to run the ball. So I'm going with the DeAndre Swift hype here. Free DeAndre Swift.
Okay, the next two is a pair of rookies, and the first is Jonathan Taylor. Hopefully he can return as well. I put a lot of injury-specific guys in here, but Jonathan Taylor at the Houston Texans or T. Higgins at the Miami Dolphins. Are you trusting what you saw from Taylor before he missed last week?
Yeah, the funny thing is I didn't even realize last week that Jonathan Taylor wasn't playing against the Titans. So ignorance is bliss. I'm rolling Jonathan Taylor out there. I know T. Higgins did get a touchdown last week, but obviously the quarterback situation in Cincy, not great. And I think without that touchdown, you'd be fading all Bengals receivers. So I'm going with JT because you know it's going to swing back to him the way that Frank Reich manages this backfield.
Yep, I'm in agreement with you there. I hope the workload stays with him. The next one includes one guy that we've talked about earlier, which is Damian Harris at the Los Angeles Chargers or Juju Smith-Schuster versus the Washington football team. This is probably one of the tougher ones that we have, and I'm going to go with Damian Harris because like you said, you know, to looking at the week before, the Bills ran all over the Chargers, and I think the Patriots can keep in competitive enough to, you know, continue running with the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so, and I don't know what it's been, but Damian Harris just hasn't had one of those huge, like, bell cow games yet that's really jumped off the page for me. So that's why I'm actually going with Juju. I know he tends to have his down games, but especially with Connor out, I still see the Steelers continuing to throw the ball. And Ben's been pretty good at distributing it. So, and I even feel that the Washington football team is worse defending the pass than the run. So I still like that matchup. I like Juju going into that one.
Okay, our next one is a quarterback question. So we've got Matt Ryan versus the New Orleans Saints or Ryan Tannehill versus the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to go with Matt Ryan here. He looked decent this past week against the Raiders, and hopefully he can continue that in week 13.
I really wanted to do Matt Ryan going into this one, but when I actually looked at Ryan Tannehill's numbers, I think his efficiency still bears out. He had 19 points last week when they were leading by a ton and 21 points against the Baltimore Ravens. He's actually the QB9 on the season, which I did not expect when I looked into this. So I'm going to go with Tannehill. I think the running game opens up the passing game over these next few weeks.
Okay, well, it seems like we've got some differing opinions these days. Our last one here is Devontae Parker at the Cincinnati Bengals or Justin Jefferson versus the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I've got Devontae Parker by an absolute landslide, even if Adam Thielen is out once again. Devontae Parker has been dominating the past several weeks, basically leads the team in every major receiving category over the past 3 weeks. So I'm going to continue rolling with him no matter who is at quarterback.
Well, I contradict you again, Sam. I saw you tweet about Parker too and chasing some stats there, but I'm going with Justin Jefferson. I think he has much higher upside. Jacksonville's obviously a mess, so I'll take anyone in that matchup. And Justin Jefferson figures to have more upside in my mind. So that was part of why I picked Juju. Again, that's why I'm going to pick Justin Jefferson.
All right. Well, I guess we'll find out in a couple
days. Do we want to do a charity bet on this one?
Were we different on every single one?
You're different on four of them, so we'll take the
all of them except Jonathan Taylor.
So it'll be the lineups of my DeAndre Swift, Juju Smith-Schuster, Ryan Tannehill, and Justin Jefferson versus your Devontae Booker, Damian Harris, Matt Ryan, and Devontae Parker. I love the way my team sounds. So
here's the thing, though. If Josh Jacobs is out, we got to take out the Devontae Booker part. But I'm good with
it'll be a 3v3 if Jacobs is active. It'll be a 4v4 if Jacobs is inactive. And we'll do the same amount of money as we did for the 5v5, where I don't remember the lineups, but I know I crushed you. So hopefully the same bears out this time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we ran a little bit long. Hopefully we got you some good fantasy football advice for the playoffs, but that's going to do it for today's show. For Andrew Mackins at Andrew Mackins, for Garner at Garnther, you can follow me at Sam Hoppen. You can follow our podcast account at Pod After TD. And with that,
the kick is good.